Radio Network, broadcasting from the Lucas Oil Studios.
Driven by General Tire.
And powered by 1-800-LOAN-MART.
Get cash fast when you need it.
It's Speed Freaks. Motorsports Radio redefined with Kenny Sargent.
We love to party.
Crash Gladys.
What are we doing for the bachelorette party?
And Stepman.
I am serious.
Here's the Freaks.
Speed Freaks on a Sunday night. Thank you, Cottonwood Tire, for making this thing possible. Hanging out at Daytona International Speedway in the Media Center. Just a bitchin' Rolex 24 wrapping up. You heard your winners here in the Freak Nation. The Taylor brothers, Max Angelelli, Jeff Gordon, we're all in here. If you missed any of the show, go to the website, speedfreaks.tv. Earlier this weekend, we caught up with Dario Franchitti, multiple Indy 500 winner, of course, big-time IndyCar driver. Had his stints in NASCAR, and of course with sports cars running for Chip Ganassi. He was the Grand Marshal for the 2017 WeatherTech Sports Car Championship kickoff here in Daytona. It's Dario Franchitti, only in the Freak Nation, Dario style, but a little bit of freak. Now, Speed Freaks Pits and Lucas Oil Studios. Dario, I asked you when you walked in looking up at this television set, what do you not miss about this race? And you said, not a thing. Yeah. Meaning... what?
I'd get in this race, I would get in a minute. It was funny, I was sitting in the driver's meeting this morning. I had to give him some words of wisdom about, you know, being patient and all that crap. And I said to them, I'm not the guy to tell you, because the first time I did this race, I got a jump start penalty, which I did in a 24-hour race. I was like, God. But I started thinking, I was like, listen to Bo Barfield, I'm going, yeah, okay, that bit. And then I suddenly thought, what are you doing? You're not driving. But I went into automatic pilot, and I loved coming here because it was not as much pressure as an IndyCar race. And, you know, I would drive with Dixon quite a lot and Jamie Mack and Kyle Larson, and we got into quite a good rhythm and had a good time. But the IndyCar stuff, though, I literally sit on the time and stand watching those guys going.
You know, when did that attitude towards IndyCar come about for you?
What date was that? Yeah. September, the whatever it was, or October the 10th. I just,
Houston.
My brain just shifted. And it's so much easier to sit on that timing stand and say, well, you got to do this and you should do that. And why are you doing this? You know, rather than actually having to do it, just telling people what they're doing wrong. It's actually quite fun in the case of Tony Kanaan. I love telling him what he's doing wrong. It's the commitment level to drive an Indy car fast. Road course, or especially oval, is intense, and I just don't have that anymore.
I can imagine the intensity at a place like Texas. For the spectator, it looks like a video game. You guys are just going infinitely fast.
Oh, is Texas Motor Speedway?
Is it the same thing for the behind the driver's seat? Does that appear faster than anywhere else?
No, I think the one that feels the fastest is Iowa. 17 or 18 second laps. Just nuts. Is absolutely mad. And as the track ages as well, the cars are sliding about a bit more in the places
see,
like
for
that.
For us, that has no bearing for speed. Texas seems like it's animation. It seems unreal.
I think Texas is going to be fast with this resurfacing job.
Yeah. Ooh, for IndyCar, yes.
Can you imagine?
Again, we get to sit there and go.
Oh, that's going to be intense. Even a cup car. I say even a cup car.
Right.
I mean, they're hauling already around there. That's going to be quick. Old Eddie Gossage is going to be going.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, exactly.
But isn't it cool, though, how, I mean, I hate the cliche, everything happens for a reason, but you are able now to be, I mean, you're an awesome dad. You can just kind of chill, and your job has changed with Ganassi, and you're having a lot of fun, Dario.
Life is different. I say that a lot to my wife. I say to Ellie, I said, you're lucky you didn't know when I was driving because I was a dick. And I was you guys have known me a long, long time, and I was intense. And mm-hmm. I'm still, when I'm at the track, I'm still intense, and I still want to help the guys any way I can, but it's a different level of intensity. And I'm busy between the Ganassi thing, between Formula E, doing stuff with Acura, with the NSX and all that, and Goodwood TV. I'm busy, but I'm not, it's not as intense, and I can sort of just hang out and play with Sophia and have a good time. And I watched Dixon do that, and it just, I don't know how he does it. He's sitting there and he's hugging his girls before the race, and then he gets in and just puts on this clinic. And he's just thinking, I couldn't do that.
You don't think you could have?
No, I could.
I bet
do,
yes, you could.
No way. I could do one or the other. And I couldn't do both. No way.
Huh.
No.
That's interesting. You don't think it's just because you're in a different time in your life now?
No, I had to be all in. I mean, I had a notebook next to my bed. And I used to wake up in the middle of the night and start writing down ideas for sort of what went wrong last weekend with the setup and how I screwed up some corner.
Really?
Yeah, I was not the easiest person to live with.
I've talked to a lot of drivers who have all different ideas about how they learn new racetracks. Some of them keep notebooks like you do. Some of them go seat of the pants. Some of them get a video game. How did you learn a track that you'd never been to?
I would walk them. Just do track walks. Like if you came to even when I knew the place, if you came to St. Pete on a Friday or Saturday night, chances are you'd have found me walking around it.
And
like
walking?
9:30 at night. And
what can you learn from walking the track when you're going 200 miles an hour when you're on the track?
Because of experience, you understand what a corner looks like and you can sort of read the bumps. And the street course racing is about reading the surfaces and the bumps as much as the angle of the corner. And most of those corners are blind. Huh. So when you turn in, you've got to know exactly what is on the other side, both in terms of the bumps and the grip level over those different surfaces. And I was always analysing that.
You ever get fooled?
Oh, God, yeah. All the time.
So when you look at it, you come up to turn one and it looks like this, and at speed it looks like something completely different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess a lot of places I got fooled less times maybe than the other guys, but sometimes I properly screwed it up too.
Grand Marshal for your Daytona 24-hour and former IndyCar pilot. I say former. Doesn't sound like the dude's ever going to hop back in an IndyCar. Dario Franchitti joining Speed Freaks. Thanks to our friends at Continental Tires and the Lucas Oil Studios. And I poked my head into the Championships Lounge or whatever they call the big area over there in the tower. And you're up there on stage. Who was that you were with on stage?
Murray Smith.
Murray Smith.
Yeah.
Another Scot?
Yeah, Murray is from Scotland, and he looks after basically Rolex and racing.
Okay.
And has done for a long, long time.
But there was a story that you gave, and remember, this is radio, a story you gave about Chip Ganassi and how he would tell all of his drivers if you wrecked the car. Go through that story again about whose fault it is and so forth.
See the fear in my eyes there.
I know.
A Chip story. Chip gets that fear in his eye when I'm going to tell a Chip story. He's like,
wait, we didn't talk about this.
Exactly, not that one. He would sit there and we'd have these sort of team meetings on a Friday afternoon for this race. And we knew what was coming, but the new guys would be sitting there and go, okay, here's the deal. If you hit another car, that's your fault. If another car hits you, that is your fault.
That's your fault.
If you drive off the track, that is your fault. Hmm. If somebody else pushes you off the track, that is also your fault. In fact, the only way it's not going to be your fault is if a meteor comes out of the sky and smashes into your car. Then at that point, it might not be your fault.
It might not be.
And if it's your fault, I'll be having a word with you. Thanks for the pep talk, Chip.
I want to see new drivers when he says that.
Oh, Chip is king of the pep talks, honestly.
Is he really?
Oh, man.
You've driven for some owners, man.
Yes, I have.
Is he the king of the...
His pep talks are funny.
Does he fire you up or just kind of make you go, what the hell did he just say?
One time in Indy, when we had that first year of the multiple qualifying attempts.
Oh, yeah?
Remember that?
Okay.
And I was on qualifying attempt 6, and I was ready to hang myself from the pagoda. Honestly, my sense of humor was gone. My nerves were done. And I just didn't want any more part of it. I was so out, just worn out, mentally worn out.